This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new representative in Michigan's 63rd State House District next year. The current representative, State House Speaker Jace Bolger, cannot run again because of term limits. One Democrat and two Republicans are running to represent the district that includes part of Kalamazoo and also part of Calhoun County. Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dave Maturin is seeking the Republican nomination for the State House seat in the 63rd District. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and the folks that listen to WMUK.
We also are joined today by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
And Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Dave Maturin, please begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself and briefly why you're running for State House.
Well, essentially, I'm running for State House. I'd like to take the record that I've developed at Kalamazoo County Government to Lansing. We've done a really good job of containing costs and bringing efficiencies to county government, reining in legacy costs. And I'd like to take that experience to Lansing to take a look at what I can do for the citizens of the state of Michigan in the 63rd District.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Dave Maturin.
Well, I guess we'll start with roads. It's everyone's not-so-favorite topic, but seems to be the one everyone talks about. We can't get a deal passed by state lawmakers right now, but roads are still crumbling. Calhoun County Township roads, which includes some of the 63rd District, they've estimated $284 million in cost to get it to good condition. If you're in Lansing, what do you think needs to be done?
Well, I think we need to obviously take a look at what we can do for roads within the existing budget. Roads are funded through Act 51 money. People are driving more fuel-efficient cars, fewer miles. Therefore, there's less money coming into the road system. I know they've been struggling. It seems like every day you see something in one of the two reporting services from Lansing. They got a deal. They don't have a deal. They included this. They didn't include that. I guess my approach, and that's basically what I heard from just about everybody I've talked to in the thousands of doors I've knocked on last couple months, is what are you going to do about the roads? But a lot of people still don't want to have any increased fees for it. I think what I would like to do is take a look at the budget, state budget, see what money is available there, see if we can prioritize things. We've done that on the county level, and find money to use for roads in addition to the Act 51 money. But it's got to be a permanent solution. It just can't be a one-time, gee, we found some money this year because the economy was good or whatever. So we've got to find a way of doing it. If it takes some sort of an increase, you have to take a look at what we're doing, how we're doing roads. I wouldn't be adverse to an increase if, in fact, that was the only option. That, of course, would come with some reforms, such as guarantees for roads, other type of issues, how we build roads and how we go about it. So I wouldn't be in favor of anything unless we got some reforms in how we deal with our road system.
But if something's going to be increased, should it be gas tax, vehicle registration fees? Where would you want to go?
You know, I think you could probably take a look at all of the vehicle registration fees, gas tax. You have cars that don't burn fuel, that burn electricity, so to speak. They also use the road, so there's got to be some method of, I guess, distributing the burden. I would also like to see as much money as possible go into the roads and not into other issues that are tied with the roads. I think right now it's critical to get the roads fixed first things first, potholes first. Worry about other side issues such as pedestrian walkways and things like that are really nice for society. But I think right now the people want to see those chuck holes, potholes fixed in front of their house.
State lawmakers have one session day scheduled in July, one in August. If you were in the state legislature right now, would you be calling for lawmakers to come back to work to get some sort of road deal done?
I think that's what the citizens would like to see, although I don't know from a timing perspective if at that point in time bringing a bunch of money into the process would ensure working on roads this year. I've heard the folks from the CRAM, the County Road Association of Michigan, talk about it's almost too late now. If we don't get the funding soon, it's too late to start road work this year. So I guess I would have to look at the timing of it all and say, okay, you know, what if we pass something now, can we get something done this year? Otherwise, maybe we should take our time, have a little bit more thoughtful process, and make sure everything's ready to go next year.
Alex Mitchell.
Dave, a package of bills passed the House and Senate last week that would exempt gun ownership forms, permits, or licenses from Freedom of Information Act requests. Would this have been a measure that you supported?
I would have supported that. I haven't followed it completely and wasn't aware of all of the dialogue that went on. But to me, I think there's been some abuses of it where people have filed FOIAs and harassed legitimate gun owners, and I think they've got a right to not have that information public. I think the police have access to it, if I'm not mistaken. And I think there are some prohibitions against the police not using it for appropriate police purposes. I guess my gut reaction, without having seen all the legislation and dealing with the dialogue, would be I would have supported that.
Where do you come down generally on where Michigan is with gun regulations? Do you think that they're about right? Would you want to make any changes one way or another?
You know, I think they're probably about right. Again, there's a lot of things I don't know about in the state of Michigan. A lot of laws, a lot of rules, a lot of regulations. I know there's folks that want to push for some more, maybe make it less restrictive. I'd like to take a look at that and see if it's possible to do that without endangering the health and safety welfare of the populace.
Do you support the plan to phase out the personal property tax, which will be on the August ballot?
Absolutely. I was on the Michigan Association of Counties PPT conference committee that we put that together. I think it's an important thing for the state of Michigan. Obviously, we want to be as attractive to potential employers as we can be. And that certainly is something that was held up as an issue. Why even look to Michigan when they got a personal property tax and none of our neighbors do? So to me, and the legislature's come up with a resolution to make up for that lost revenue for local communities. And now it's going to be 100% funding. So I think that's a good thing. We're taking it from some monies that were used internally in the state of Michigan and rebating that to local communities. I think it's fine. As a small businessman, I used to spend hours and hours filling out my personal property tax form, only, you know, to end up writing a check to the city of Portage for $70 or $80. I mean, it didn't make any sense. It was very time-consuming for those people, and I think it's good for small business. It frees up my time of other small business owners. So I think it's a positive thing for the state, and it doesn't hurt the local communities. I used to be in the assessing business for quite a few years before I became a fee appraiser, and that's one of the things we dealt with was personal property. And it's very time-consuming for the amount of money that most units of government raise, because most of the taxpayers are small people like me, and the amount's pretty minimal.
Jennifer?
How would you have voted on the minimum wage hike?
I would have voted for the bill that finally passed. I'm not really wild about government telling employers what they should pay their employees and what kind of compensation package they should offer to them. But I think the bill that did pass was probably the, I don't want to call it evil, lesser of two evils, for lack of a better word. I think that the fact that the virtually every restaurateur I talked to really thought that was going to be a very, very difficult situation for them to deal with. And so that exempted them from the whatever the typical rate would have been and put it on a percentage. And at least they were happy with that. So I think it was something that was likely to pass in one format or another, and I would have voted for it.
Are you saying that you would prefer the state not have a minimum wage at all?
I guess they do, and it's not something you're going to get around. And I think there's going to be some minimum wage at some point in time, either imposed by the state or the federal government. I'm just saying that I'm a little hesitant to have government telling the private sector employers how to compensate their people.
So, in other words, if Dave Mitrone were waving the magic wand, would there be a minimum wage?
Would there be a minimum wage? You know, I think there probably still would be some sort of a minimum wage, and I guess it's just a philosophical issue whether I think that government should be telling you how much to pay your employees. So I don't, probably doesn't answer your question. If I were to wave my magic wand, there's probably a lot of rules and regulations I would not want to impose on employers. That certainly doesn't mean that we want unbridled capitalism either.
Alex.
Dave, the Kalamazoo County Board of Commissioners, which you currently chair, has been discussing allowing its taxes to be captured by the South Drake Corridor Improvement Authority that's being established by Oshtemo Township. It looks like the board has decided to establish a policy for joining these authorities in the future before joining this exact authority. It seems like these decisions used to be rubber stamped in the past, or maybe if not rubber stamped, involved a lot less discussion when the county would allow its taxes to be captured by municipalities within the county. But given the current political realities of stretched funding for local governments, would you be in favor of examining the Corridor Improvement Authority Act if you were elected?
Well, I think it's something to take a look at. Obviously, we aren't doing things as business as usual in Kalamazoo County. I mean, we've had a lot of reforms we've done lately. We've reformed our pension system. We've reined in our legacy costs. We've reformed our operating costs by asking our employees to pay more. So we're taking a look at everything. And when somebody comes to us and asks us to effectively exempt our 6.5 mills for 30 years for a tax increment finance authority, and once you read it and you realize these are a lot of things in that TIF district that should be done by the township itself as a general government, or should be done through a special assessment like they are done in most units of government. We took a look at it, and I took a look at it, and there were too many things in there that just don't seem to be functions of government that we should be giving up our 6.5 mills for, especially when the new development going up at Stadium and Drake and 131 is essentially going in without a connection to the TIF district. I mean, that was going in regardless of the TIF district. We're talking $70 million of value that would be captured for 30 years by Oshtemo Township to use for whatever purposes they wanted to use for, again, many of which I don't think are appropriate functions of government. So what we decided to do in the interim is take a look and say we don't have a policy. We should have a policy. So anybody who develops a TIF district from now on, we'll say, okay, here's the county's policy. They're only going to allow so many mills to be captured. They're going to require this. They're going to require that. And so perhaps they won't go through with a plan and then say, here it is. You got 60 days to deal with it. So we are going to be coming up with a plan. I doubt very much that the county board will agree to the TIF district as proposed. And so we're going to opt out of it simply because we have to, because of state law. We're going to come up with what we consider to be an appropriate plan. And then if Oshtemo wants to agree to that, fine. If not, then they won't. At the state level, I know there's some legislation proposed. I think there are concerns about these districts that go on and on forever and captured taxes that could be used for the general populace, for police and fire and all the other purposes for government, and yet they continually be funded back into one development. And as I looked at the plan and read it in depth, it just wasn't something that I could buy into as a long-term county commissioner and as a county commission chair. I think that we need to take a look at a good policy. This isn't a TIF district that I can support as something that's really, really necessary to give up 6.5 mills for 30 years.
Now, is it this TIF district in particular, or do you feel, and I know you can't speak for future county commissioners, but do you feel that all TIF districts going forward are going to be examined with this level of scrutiny? Is that what the policy's for?
Yeah, I think they are, and I think it's important, you know, that whether they were quote-unquote rubber-stamped in the past, and we just said yes. The library district was the first district to opt out of it. They opted out of it a long time ago. I think libraries around the state are finding out that they're missing out on a lot of money. So I think it's something that we need to take a look at each one of these and see if we give up our millage for X number of years, is that going to be what spurs economic development in this area? Okay, so we're giving it up, and eventually we're going to pick it up. But 30 years from now is a long time to have your value frozen at what we could collect on. So I think we will be examining them in the future. I think it's a good thing. I think we're looking at stuff that normally just rote approval, rubber stamp, whatever you want to call it. And I don't think we can do that anymore, given the limitations on our ability to raise revenue to fund the services the county needs to fund.
So here's another broad philosophical question for you. If you could rewrite the state's tax laws and change the tax system in the state of Michigan, would you do it? And how would you change it? What are things that you think we could tax better? How could we make the state more competitive and yet maintain roughly the same amount of revenue?
Oh, well, that's a wide-reaching question. I've got a copy of the Citizens Research Council on all of the state taxes that are levied, and it's really a patchwork quilt of things we've done. You just take a look at what we've done with the gas tax. We added a sales tax to the gas tax that doesn't go to roads. It goes to education, and it goes to local units of government. I guess I'd like to tie taxes a little bit more to the purpose for which that tax is going to be used. I know you can't do that with everything, and obviously the gas tax is a user tax. I think you have to have a balance of taxes. I think we've got a new corporate income tax, which I think works well. The old single business tax was a maze. I had to deal with it for a couple of years, it was certainly a disincentive to bringing business. So I think we need to have a tax atmosphere that allows businesses to want to come into Michigan, but I think we still need to have taxes on property. We have a property tax system that years and years ago was relatively simplistic, and now it's very complex with lots of exemptions and lots of things you have to do to get those exemptions. But I think a combination of the sales tax, income tax, and property tax that we have now is a pretty good mix. So everybody's paying something in for what they get from general government. Would I like to see taxes always lower? I think so. I think most people, when I talk to them going door to door, they don't want to see their taxes increased. Of course, they always want their services increased. And that's why we've got to become more efficient internally in government to keep the same service levels but keep the spending as close as we can to being more efficient, more effective with what we have.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dave Maturin. He is a candidate for State House in the 63rd District, which includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. We're also joined by Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette and Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman. Jennifer.
Townships are considering possible millages for improving the roads. Do you think that's the way for them to go?
I certainly think that's if the citizens in that township want to levy a millage for it, I think that's fine. I don't see any problem with people voluntarily wanting to pay a millage. I believe it's Climax Township has had two mills for roads for an awful long time. They got some pretty nice secondary roads in Climax Township. I'm not sure if that necessarily is the way to go. I'd really like to tie it more to a user fee. But you can say that the properties out there benefit by having a better road in front of them. So I think there's some nexus between the tax and the benefit. And I think Texas Township levies a per parcel, $60 per parcel for that. So it's not necessarily tied to a millage. You get the same benefit whether you got a $60,000 house or a $600,000 house. So perhaps the way Texas went on a per parcel basis may be more equitable. But I think anytime people want to do things to improve their infrastructure and do it with their own taxes, I think that's fine.
The concern I hear from township supervisors, they say, I don't get any direct funding from the state. I don't have enough authority when it comes to improving my roads. Do you have any suggestions, or do you think there needs to be this direct flow of money to the townships from the state?
Well, right now the Act 51 funding is split up between the state and the county road commissions and cities and villages. And townships, for whatever reason, way back when Act 51 was put in place, essentially get money through the road commissions. And here in Kalamazoo, they have what they call PAR funds, participating funds, where the county for non-county primary roads will come up with a match money. And if the township matches that, then they'll take that money and use that for roads. We did that for years in Brady Township, where we'd allocate general fund money to the match with the county road commission and pave some of our roads. The problem is that there's never enough money to go around, and we were even turning paved roads back to gravel back then simply because they're cheaper to maintain and probably in some instances better than the paved roads we have now with the potholes in them.
Alex?
Dave, last year on this program when we spoke with Michigan House Speaker Jace Bolger, the man you're looking to replace, he said he would be open to exploring the possible decriminalization of marijuana so that possession of small amounts could result in a civil infraction and just a fine. Would that be something that you would be open to exploring?
I think I would be open to exploring it. I think our prisons and jails are filled with a lot of low-level minor drug user criminals, and I don't think that's a very good use of the county's taxpayers to put somebody away for $30,000, $40,000 a year. I think it's something to take a look at. You've got some experiments out west, Colorado and maybe Washington State, that have legalized marijuana or decriminalized it to some extent. I mean, I haven't followed it completely. But, you know, let's take a look at those experiments and see where we're at from that. And we also have things in Kalamazoo County, like our drug courts, which I think, you know, try to deal with people that are first-time low-level drug users, put them in a drug court, give them some support. That's certainly far better spending the $2,000-$3,000 it costs us to do a drug court intervention, and we were one of the first in the country to do it, rather than spending $20,000-$40,000 a year putting somebody in jail or in prison. So I'd like to see something along that line. But obviously I don't know everything all about the issue, but it's certainly something worth exploring.
Do you think that the state should be putting any more limitations on the use of medical marijuana, which the voters have approved in this state? There's been some regulations put in place. Do you think the state needs to do more there, or should they leave things where they're at for now?
That's another issue I haven't heard about when I've been knocking on doors. You know, the voters voted for it. I mean, obviously it was a popular thing for folks to want to have in the state. And I think we're probably at a point right now where there are probably appropriate, if you need safeguards, there are probably appropriate safeguards for the community and what they've enacted.
Jennifer?
Something that the state Supreme Court has prohibited is storefront dispensaries. And from medical marijuana users, they say that limits my safe access. Now I have to go to a caregiver's home. Who knows how safe that is? Do you think there should be a change in that?
So you say they've eliminated storefront dispensaries, and then you got to go to someone's home?
You have to get it directly from your caregiver.
Directly from your caregiver. You know, I guess I don't know enough about that topic and whether it endangers the health, safety, and welfare of the general public having it that way. But obviously, if it's something that's legal, there should be a method by which a person can obtain that.
Safely.
Safely, yeah.
Alex.
Dave, you said in your campaign announcement that you want to build on the efforts of Governor Snyder and the Republican-led legislature to make Michigan a magnet for job creation. What steps would you take to promote job creation?
Well, I think we need to keep giving signals to potential employers in the state that we are open for business. I think the Right to Work Act did that. I think people before never even would look at Michigan because of that. Now they're effectively we're giving them a chance to look at us and be able to sell it. Are there still regulations on business that really aren't necessary, that don't really protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community, that need to be looked at? I think there's always something to be said for taking a look at the regulations that are out there. Taxes. They've done, a pretty good job on you know, getting rid of the single business tax and going to the corporate income tax. I'm not quite sure how much more we can do on the tax front, but attempting to see what issues are out there that still need to be done. I'm not cognizant of everything that can go on in Lansing. But just like to carry on with the what they've done and laid out a plan for businesses to want to come to the state and create some jobs.
Critics of the Right to Work Act will say that so far there's really not one company you can only point at and say they came to Michigan because of the Right to Work law.
Yeah. I think in that perspective, you can't expect to pass a law and instantly have a company come in and drop in 1,000 jobs. I don't think you're going to see that. I think what it did was send a signal to potential employers, folks that want to locate in Michigan, that you know, we are a state now you can look at. So I think that was almost a non-starter for a lot of companies. They just didn't want to come to a state that didn't have a Right to Work Act. We do, and so I think we're going to see over time that there's going to be an increased employment because of it. But to think that all of a sudden there's going to be this grand rush to Michigan, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, these things take a long time to develop. So I would think that long term we are going to see those results. I think it does open the door for the people in the economic development business to get to communities, to get to potential employers that would at least come and take a look at us, see what we got to offer. If we get the international trade crossing passed, I think that'll be also another boon for Michigan, even West Michigan.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Dave Maturin, who is a candidate for State House in Michigan's 63rd District. He's one of two Republicans running. He's also the chairman of the Kalamazoo County Board of Commissioners. We're also joined by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell and Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman. Jennifer.
What economic development officials say helps us stand out here in Southwest Michigan is our workforce development. They say the opportunities that we have here, this the Regional Manufacturing Technology Center in Battle Creek, for example, has really helped us, from a prospects perspective, have a workforce that's skilled for that those jobs that the manufacturing sector is saying we don't have the skilled workers for. And Southwest Michigan First and Battle Creek Unlimited have teamed up for these efforts. Do you think this regional push and this strategy to team up and do it in a regional way is the best way to go?
Well, it certainly makes sense to me. I mean, we are a region. I mean, the flow of workers and residents between Calhoun County and Kalamazoo County and even the rest of the region. I mean, it's a daily basis, so there's no sense in having everyone trying to do economic development in their own little silo. I know our workforce development boards are going to be combining the one currently that exists now has Barry County in it. That's going to go off to the Kent County, the governor's new 10 economic prosperity districts. And I was at the, of course, our county board meeting. And then shortly after that, I went to the Calhoun County Commission meeting. And they also had a presentation by Ben Damro from the W. Upjohn Institute, essentially talking about the merger. And eventually there's going to be four counties. And that makes all the sense in the world to me. So I think the efforts of Southwest Michigan First, you can look at our BTR park over here and look what happened with Newell Rubbermaid and all the jobs they brought there. So I think things like that, promotions like that from an entity like Southwest Michigan First that's really focused on jobs, but they're not focused on jobs in a particular city or county. They want to get them in the region, and I think everybody in the region prospers because of that. So I'm fully in support of what Southwest Michigan First is doing, Battle Creek Unlimited. The combination between the two counties, I think, makes us stronger.
Alex.
Governor Snyder has mentioned the possibility of examining the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act to include protections for LGBT citizens. Would that be something that you'd support?
You know, I think I need to know a little bit more about the ramifications of that. I know the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act has been around for a long time, and there are several protected classes already in that. I've heard Speaker Bolger talk about some of the issues, pro and con. I think it's certainly something we should take a look at. I know the business community I think business leaders from Michigan have come out and said this is something we need to do. We need to attract talented people to come here. And if this is an impediment to that, then perhaps we should take a look at it. I'm not really sure which way I'd go on that at this point in time. But, I think we need to do what we can to make this a place for folks that can contribute to our society and are creative and want to be employed in the jobs that we're creating to come to Michigan.
When you say look at the ramifications, what would be your concerns on the other side?
You know, I know there's been some issues I don't know all the details about all of it, whether it's renters, whether it's a housing issue or things like that, whether it's just individuals and their context with somebody else's lifestyle that they're not comfortable with, and it could be in a small rental situation. I'm not sure if those people are already exempt from Elliott Larson or whether it applies to everybody. I just need to do some more research into that, like a lot of issues that I'm not completely familiar with.
At one time, this state house district, with some different boundaries at the time, became a bit of a battleground over the issue of gay marriage. Where would you stand on gay marriage if it were, say, put back on the ballot in 2014?
The way I look at it personally is that marriage is between a man and a woman. But I think we need to also be cognizant of the fact that people need the protections of marriage when they enter into a domestic relationship relative to anything that they could do from a spousal, if it's a hospital issue, if it's an inheritance issue, if it's a health issue or anything like that, I think we certainly need to make that available to people. Maybe we need to decouple marriage and make that a religious institution and make everything else, when the state does it, make that a civil institution. So everybody gets a civil license. You're married and you get all of the legal protections that that union provides. And then if you want to get married, quote unquote, you can go to whatever church you want to go to. And I'm sure anybody could find a church that would marry anybody. So maybe that's a solution.
Let me end with an issue of education, because Calhoun County is the site of an interesting experiment going on with the merger of the high schools of Marshall and Albion. Do you think that the state should be trying to encourage more of those efforts for schools to consolidate, perhaps save some costs, but also perhaps run the risk of some culture clashes and people perhaps feeling that they've lost the identity of their town if their high school is no longer open?
Well, it's certainly nothing that the state mandated. It was something that the communities of Marshall and Albion decided to do on their own volition.
But Governor Snyder has said he would like schools to look for more consolidation.
Do you agree with him? I think consolidation is certainly, something. I don't know how many school districts got in the state. I'm sure there are several hundred. Many of them are quite small. To me, that makes all the sense in the world. If you get any unit of government together, whether it's a school district or townships or cities or whatever, I mean, we look at the police force sharing between K Township and Parchment. I mean, you look at those things. Those are the things that we need to do to focus on, to concentrate on, to keep costs down in an environment where our tax revenue is not going to grow much. So I think it's a great idea. I mean, they do that. They share a superintendent in Constantine and Menden. Centerville and Menden. I mean, there are lots of sharing things you can do without necessarily losing your identity. Now, you would if you combined a school district, but you look at all the school districts around that have combined over the years. You've got a lot of districts that used to be in existence, and now they're not. They're consolidated districts, and that makes sense. So, the taxpayers are not going to want to fork over much more money if we can give the kids the same sort of educational opportunities and save some money doing it. I'd be all in favor of that, but it should be locally driven, but maybe with some incentives and some carrots offered by the state.
Dave Maturin, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. It's been enjoyable.
Dave Maturin is a member of the Kalamazoo County Commission. He is running for State House in the 63rd District, which includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. And thanks again to Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
Thank you.
And Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks, Gordon.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.